Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nearly done 100 episodes of this podcast, and the producer still has to tell me not to hold the mic right up against my beak. And that's Cuddle Club. Thank you for listening to another episode. That was too needy on my part, but I'm saying it in a casual way. Listen, it's another episode of your second favourite podcast. Could be favourite. Let's be honest, at this stage, could be favourite. Also, I'd like to retrieve a shout-out. I gave a shout-out to someone, Haz, a little while ago, and I'd like to take that back because she stopped listening to the podcast. So someone else had to tell her about a shout-out. So that's retrieved now. She's getting no more shout-outs. But you could tweet me and I might mention it, okay? Get in touch if you've got anything to say about the show, okay? Now, today I'm talking to Angela Dravid. She's a New Zealand comedian. My God, she's funny. I'm watching season one of Taskmaster New Zealand, and she's in that, and she's very, very funny. Then I started watching her stand-up, and it's even better. Oh, God. Check her out, Angela Dravid. But check her out on this podcast first. Bit of a trigger warning on this one. Abusive relationships, child grooming, prison. It's an interesting one. It's a spicy one. I had a lovely time, and I think we delve deep, and I think it's all the better for it. And I hope you enjoy this lovely episode of Cuddle Club with Angela Dravid. Oh, hello, Angela from New Zealand.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Looks like we're both in bed as well.
Yeah, we want to get the vibe right. Sleepy talk time, but with a hint of romance.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Because the funny thing is about the world is it's nighttime there, and get this, it's morning over here.
Yeah, we're on opposite sides of the sun.
You can't get your head around it sometimes, can you?
When I was running away to the UK, I was in Australia, and I thought it was so hot, so I packed Hawaiian shirts and shorts and got there, and it was winter, and I didn't understand it.
But yeah, how old were you when you ran away into the arms of a paedophile?
Oh, I was I was 17.
No, I mean, it's not actually funny, that. So let's focus on the positives. You're with us, and you had to do a stretch of time, which doesn't seem fair to lock a kid away. I don't think they can lock kids away now.
No, they just get sent to their room now, I think.
Yeah, they just get sent on a naughty step. But at 19, you'd lived a whole life.
Yeah, I was married and like I was on remand in HMP Bronzefield.
Like, if you've got to be on remand, it's a lovely place to do it.
It is. It was one of the newly like privatised place. So it was.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah.
What do you want to give a quick summary of what happened, and then we can all move on? Because I know you. I don't want you to have to. Well, you're over the trauma, I think, aren't you?
I think so. Yeah. I met a man on the internet when I was 16 in a chat room, and I wasn't happy at home. I didn't realise it until many years later, but my mum was undiagnosed with mental illness. Oh. So I ran away to the UK and was really isolated. I attacked my ex-husband, who was 30 years older than me.
Blimey.
And then was on remand in prison for 2 months and then came out into a bail hostel for 3 years before being removed back to New Zealand.
Blimey.
Yeah.
So much to go through.
It is weird to come into comedy after that, but I had such a nice time with the people I met in prison and in the bail hostel that
I came out
feeling good about things, yeah.
Wow. Why were they nice?
Well, because I was 19 when I was on remand and I think everyone around me wanted to help me. I think they all saw it was really unusual for this girl to be stranded.
Yeah, it's so unfair.
A lot of them were really great people and like told me, you know, this man doesn't sound right. I think you need to focus on yourself. Like all the things that you need from your mum and your sister, like they were all kind of there for me.
That is nice. Looking at the positives and yeah. And also it's just so good to have a story straight off the bat for stand up.
Yeah.
You know, people are talking about what they have for dinner. You're straight in with, I've done some time. I smashed a man in the face. He was a bad man. You know, these are the details people want to know, you know?
Yeah.
You're straight up with a good story.
Oh, I mean, it also had its toll on me as well. I think it's taken like 12 or 13 years to have a relationship. Like, it's taken a lot of time to process. And
yeah, I'm not surprised it probably... probably quite a lot of trust issues, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Before that. Are you in one now?
I am in one now, yeah. He's very sweet and he treats me really nicely. And he's the same age as me.
Oh, perfect. So. That is very nice. And what about, does he shove his toe in your gob or not?
No. All that stuff's gone.
To someone that hasn't seen that bit of stand-up, that would seem like a weird question for me. But before the podcast started, I was telling you that last night I watched your stand-up with my mum and stepdad were in the room and I started watching it. It's so funny from the opening line and they just, like, I played it and from the opening line they were just, like, transfixed. And, yeah, so good to know that your comedy transcends age. And,
that's great.
Yeah, but we were just saying that if it was me saying that stuff, I think they'd be like... People don't want their daughters to be rude, but they like other people's daughters being rude.
Yeah, it's because my mum's like very devout Christian and she's not the biggest fan of when I talk about sex. She's gotten better with it now, but
yeah,
she'll say to me, Baba, do you have to really talk about that?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah. I would had long discussions with my mum about that because there's a lot of shame, isn't there, in Christianity. She's also Christian, but I would sort of say, look, by brushing it under the carpet, it's more dangerous for society. And actually, I'm reclaiming sexuality for women, and it's part of a bigger social, political commentary. Like, so I would talk about having a big labia, like one that hangs down. And, like, to the outside eye, it's just that you're being puerile. But actually, I talk about labiaplasticity, and I can never say that word. Ironic. And, you know, just about how, like, in porn, it's all the little ones.
On the lips.
Yes, it hangs about the lips in the wrong way. But, yeah, so I explained it all to the dumb bitch, and then she came round.
Oh, that's so good. That was, like, when I was trying to convince my mum that I think prisoners should get the vote, and she was like, no way. And I was like, Mum, I think there are lots of people committing crimes who haven't been caught, and they'll still get to vote.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
It shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
And she came round to it. There's got to be some line somewhere, but I do think that if you're going to be rehabilitated, you should be allowed to vote and become a good citizen and get involved.
You're still part of society. Like, we all make mistakes. And actually, there's a lot of injustice as well in the criminal system. Case in point, you being behind bars in the slammer. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I was on remand. I was in prison because I didn't have anyone else I could stay with. Like, I was there by myself. If I had a friend or anyone in the UK, I would have just been bailed to that address.
Yeah, but then the men that are controlling, they isolate you on purpose, so...
Yeah, I think around that time as well, young women with older men were seen as... They were more predators than the older men, you know, it was like...
Really?
It was the gold diggers, it was the girl who was after his money.
16, 17-year-old, like, my God, like, you can't... I slept with a... When I was... 17, I think I was. I might have been 16, but I think I was 17. I slept with a 42-year-old, and his daughter came in the room where we were banging, and his daughter went to my school.
Oh my God.
I know, awful. Awful. Can you imagine? Oh, we're now she's asking. Okay, quick fire round.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through a lot, so I think you could do this.
Great.
Craig David or Angela Dravid?
Oh, Angela Dravid.
Would you lick someone's ashes for £500?
Definitely.
Lovely.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're just thinking about it, yeah? Just thinking it through.
Well, no, I'm just like, it's the same as activated charcoal, but it's like deactivated charcoal.
Yeah, it's good for you, probably. Mm. Would it depend on who the person was?
But, I mean, no.
Good. Okay. That's very good. One size fits all approach. You know, no biases. I love it.
I'm not saying that I want to lick someone's ashes. I'm saying that if someone, it's like Fear Factor. If someone said, lick an eyeball ashes, I'd be like.
Well, eyeball was what I was going to ask as well, actually. So it's funny you said that, but I think I've already asked someone else about an eyeball. Have you ever licked someone's eyeball? I asked that to someone and they said no. And I have licked an eyeball. I'll hold my hand up.
I once slept on a cushion weird and the edge of the cushion pushed into my eye as I fell asleep. I woke up, my eyeball was dented. And it turns out the eyeball was filled with a bit of gas. So I had to wait for a couple of hours for my eyeball to fill up again.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah. Are you a scientist?
No.
You could be.
My dad is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a groundwater scientist.
I knew there was something science in you. I just knew it. I think you're 40% science.
And 60% water.
Who's that guy that said, I don't want any club that wants to have me?
Oscar Wilde?
Yeah, he's not saying that about Cuddle Club. Okay, touch quiz. What am I thinking about touching now? You've got five questions, and I'm thinking of it right now, but I might give you a clue.
Is it wet?
Not unless it's been in the water. Not generally. The nose might be wet if it's healthy.
Oh, okay. What does it smell like?
Sort of like not ideal, I suppose. It's got... Some people would like the smell of it. I wouldn't like the smell of it. You don't want to come in the house and it smells of this.
Okay. Is it man-made?
No. I think God made them.
Is it legal?
Yeah, I'd say they're legal. I would say you might need a license to breed them. You might not. That's a big clue. Come on. That's a big clue.
Oh, is it weed?
It's a sausage dog, Angela.
Oh, right. Well, who breeds weed? I don't know. When you said you wouldn't want your house to smell like it.
Yeah, you thought weed.
Actually, you said it was legal. Oh, this is the legal thing as well. Like, medicinal marijuana is legal.
Well, yeah, but I said it had a wet nose.
Ah.
Yeah. Do you remember when I said it had a wet nose? If it's healthy.
Oh, I see. No, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
No. So in the end, sausage dog. It can get you this game, you know? You go in confident knowing that you're 40% scientist. You know, you come out thinking, do I know anything, you know?
Oh, yeah, go and tell us this one. Yeah.
Do you get on with your family now?
Yes, half of it.
What half?
Oh, the mum's half.
Oh, not on your dad's side, but do you get on with your dad or not?
No.
Oh, it's always like that, a bit always like that, isn't it, with the dads?
Yeah, the dad's like a less, I don't know. It's weird. Mum's very forgiving, dad's not so forgiving.
Oh, so he doesn't talk to you because of the past?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
It was, but I mean, sad is only if you keep hoping for change and it never happens, I think.
Yeah. It's so sad for him is what it's sad for, to not be able to move on.
Yeah, it's also a cultural thing probably, because I'm half Indian and I sort of feel like maybe Asians take shame way further than it ever needed to be. So it's like when I make a mistake, it's not me making a mistake. It's me shaming the whole family as if my actions now affect the whole lineage of Dravids around the world. But it really doesn't.
And are your mum and dad still together or no?
No, they're divorced. But they've been separated for years, like since I was maybe 6.
Yeah, you've got to feel for them because then they're missing out because they can't get over this, like, sort of ancestral kind of pressure or whatever they perceive as.
Well, it's kind of strange. When mum came to see my stand-up show, I think she realised that her perceptions of me are not what other people's perceptions of me are, and it made her accept me because other people were accepting me. And sometimes I think parents need to see that the way other people perceive your kids is a better indication of who your kids are than how you perceive them.
That's so profound.
Because you're way more harsher on your kids than strangers are. Strangers just see your kids as Well, yeah. Depends on the stranger. My ex-husband saw a kid and thought wife.
Yeah. Everyone's different. But yeah, that's so true. I wish people didn't have this pressure that they felt their kids were. I wish everyone could just be free and they didn't have to think their kids are a direct representation of them and not their own person.
Mm.
My friend has cut off her mum because she was a narcissist and deeply, like, disturbing and just never ever had her back, her daughter's back. So my friend just cut her out of their life, and she was always, well, it's what you said, she was always hoping that her mum might change. She was always hoping that she might be able to see the picture like a sort of loving mum, but she never ever could, and she had no interest in changing. So when she cut her out, her life got infinitely better. So it's not like, you know, we can't change people, and acceptance is also quite powerful, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I've been thinking about with my own story, because I came back to New Zealand and it's taken a long time to repair my relationship with my mum, but now it's repaired. I've gained something that is really precious. I've got the mum who I needed when I was 16. But I also don't want the moral of this story to be keep people in your life.
Yeah.
Because you should have the strength to cut people who are not good for you. And you're totally allowed to cut people like your parents if they're harmful to yourself, if they're harmful to you. You shouldn't feel obligated to help someone if it comes to the cost of yourself.
No, but there is a freedom in accepting that they're not going to be any other way. Thank God you didn't have a kid with that guy, though, that you were married to. Can you imagine? Well,
it's so weird. I wanted kids with him, but he didn't want to be a dad.
Had his hands full with you, didn't he? Taking you to the park.
We went to the pier, that pier with the carnival, and I felt like everyone stared at us when I held his hand, and I couldn't understand why.
Wow.
And then I was taking it all personally, like everyone's looking at me like I'm a horrible person, and they probably were, because I looked much younger than him.
I think they were probably looking at you feeling a bit of worry and looking at him thinking, what the hell is going on here?
I still think that we were looking at young women worse than we were looking at older men.
Really? I think we can go on record and say it's not always the women being little sluts, is it? Not always.
No, it's different.
No, I'm joking.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you want to be in a bubble with me, a cuddle bubble?
Have you ever had a best, worst, or weirdest cuddle?
Oh, okay, so best cuddle. Okay, I did ask his permission before I tell the story, so he said okay. Was probably with David Correos.
Go on.
Because this was, we had this weird chemistry. We've been doing comedy together for a while, and we had this kind of chemistry. And a lot of people were doing this thing where you see two fat brown people and they try to smush them together into a relationship. So me and David were that for a while, and it got annoying, and we faked a relationship. And
You faked a relationship for a joke.
We faked a relationship for a joke.
So good.
We used to hang out a lot, and David stayed over, and we slept in the same bed, and we cuddled. Like, it's weird. We spooned, and, like, we chatted, and we were, like, kids at a sleepover.
Yeah.
And that's how we knew that we weren't romantic.
Oh, okay.
It felt really platonic and safe, and we both really genuinely loved each other as friends. And that was probably the best cuddle.
Oh, because it's so pure.
Yeah. It felt nice. Really, like, there was, like, nothing tarnished in it. It was just, like, I was happy for him, he was happy for me.
Yeah.
Worst cuddle? Oh, God. Probably when I begged my ex-husband not to divorce me.
Oh, no.
And I cuddled God. Him. I asked him to hug me, and it was, like, in Reading. And I think there was like, some guy dealing crack around the corner from us. Oh, and I was like, please just hug me and kiss me. Like, let's see if we still have chemistry. And he said that the door was closed. He thinks that the relationship, like, the door is closed in our relationship. But I didn't quite understand the metaphor. So I was like, is the door locked? And he said, no, it's not locked. And I was like, so there's a gust of wind, it could open. He's like, it's unlikely that there'll be any gust of wind, but the door is closed.
Oh, God. It's horrible. Every element of that, that is probably the worst cuddle we've ever had on. A child with Stockholm syndrome begging. Oh, God. Just a lost little kid. Very sad.
Yeah.
But look at you now, taskmaster winner.
Yeah.
Weirdest cuddle, I think it could be covered in the last one though.
I think it could be.
yeah, I think there's not going to be a weirder one than that, hopefully.
Maybe weirdest cuddle was being on a blow-up mattress next to my flatmate who was having sex with another flatmate and cuddling to just stay on the blow-up mattress.
Oh my gosh, wow, a lot going on. So so you're sort of clutching like a lifeboat and they're sort of doing it on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's student living, right?
And that was not the worst Christmas.
Did you? Cuddle club. Cuddle club. Cuddle club. I think that's enough. This is the last question and we go big on the last one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think life's all about?
Making mistakes and learning from them.
Well, you are absolutely smashing life.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I forgot to ask if you are quite affectionate, cuddly guy.
I think so. I think I'm quite affectionate. I think, and I think that might have been the reason why I was so liked in prison as well. Like, I wanted to help people, and I used to draw like designs on people's letters that they sent to their co-defendants in other prisons. I used to tweeze people's eyebrows and roll cigarettes.
Oh, I bet you were such a warm presence in the prison.
Yeah, I don't know. I taught a girl her like times table, and she just was so happy, and it made me feel like I was useful. I think I enjoyed prison because after being in this house with my ex-husband and not having any status in the UK, I couldn't really work or do anything. Had no access to money. But in prison, I had a use. I could be useful to other people.
That's so nice. We all just need a purpose, really, don't we? Isn't that? I love that she learned her times table and she was really happy because you like empowered her to have a thing, you know?
She just didn't think she could do maths. And I was like, oh, if you don't understand the maths, like, there's patterns. You can recognise patterns. And, like, told her the 9 times table, like, 11 and 10s. Like, she didn't have to calculate it. She could see a pattern emerging. And she just got excited that she didn't have to mentally calculate things to understand maths.
Would you ever go back into prisons and, like, talk to them or, like teach stuff or try and... I don't know, what can we do as comedians? Pretty useless now.
I've actually contacted the women's prison... and asked if there's anything I can do to help. I guess I don't want to teach women in prison anything.
No.
I just want them to know that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
If it involves, like, if someone wants me to go through their writing and read some of their paragraphs or something, I'd be happy to do that. I think if there's anyone here that's listening to this podcast that has come out of prison, my one tip would be you don't have to disclose that you have a criminal conviction until you get to the interview. You don't have to tick the box. That was the tactic I was taught in the UK, was don't tick the box. And then if they ask for clarification, or if they ask you for it, you can say that I'd like to talk about it in person.
Yeah, nice. But there shouldn't, it's back to that shame thing as well. There's so much shame in society, and that's what kills us, because we should, like, if you've done a stretch of time, I think it makes you an interesting person. You've got a story, you've learned a lot about yourself, you've had a lot of time for reflection.
There's so much time for reflection in prison. Like, you're by yourself in a cell thinking about things. You're around all these people who are also going through things. Like, it teaches you empathy and listening skills. I sort of feel like the conviction to me shows that someone's taken responsibility.
Yeah.
I don't know. I spent more time on bail than I did in prison, though. I feel like...
Part-timer.
Yeah. I was only 2 months in prison.
Get back in. Try and deepen your personality a bit. It must be quite interesting. Like, I've only been in prison for a night. That wasn't really a... they didn't give me a blanket. I was very cold because I've been gobby the night before. So they were like, she's not getting a blanket. And I was in a little vest top. And I was like, fair enough, actually. Nicely played by them, because they got me back.
Was this a jail cell in the police?
Yeah, it wasn't like proper. It was just
worse. That is worse in prison, because they don't even turn the lights off.
Yeah, I've romanticised prison now. I'm coming out with a sort of thinking... Yeah, it'd be nice to do a stretch, actually, deepen my personality. But that's probably not ideal either.
From cradle to podcast, maybe the true listening is with our hearts.
Do you want your cuddle type? Because I put it into the cuddle calculator.
Yes, I'm keen.
Yeah, I bet you do. Okay. Electric wire. You're wired up for something and it's cuddling.
Aww.
That's nice. I think that's a nice one.
From prison and electricity makes me think of the electric chair.
Oh, shit. It's not supposed to. We'll put some other chat in between so it doesn't. Oh, no. No, it's more like electricity and sort of crackling with...
Yeah.
You know, good stuff. You need electric. Yeah. You need electricity to power life. If I had my time again, it would be something a bit more zen, but it's not.
I don't think I'm a zen person. I think my delivery might sound zen, but a lot of whirring upstairs, so...
Inside you're an electric wire, and that's the true you, and it looks like I've tapped into the true you.
Yes, I think you have.
What a fascinating chat. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
So that was Angela Dravid. What a lovely chat. Very interesting. If you want to follow her on Twitter, she's at Angela, 2 L's, Dravid, D-R-A-V-I-D. Very interesting. And hopefully she'll be coming to the UK with a project soon so we can see her there. And I will see you, I'll see you in Edinburgh if you're coming to Edinburgh. I'm doing my show for the whole month with Plosif, who produces this podcast. It's a family. It's a family. And you're welcome if you buy a ticket. Okay. I think my tour's finished by the time you're listening to this. I guess what I'm saying is cuddle yourself close, look after yourself, and I'll see you or hear you or peep at you next time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.